The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, James Millman and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Carlisle and Fosslast domestically. We also have two meetings over in Ireland, one from Limerick and one from Navan. So we'll bring you as much of that action as we can. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio. Tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Stephen Powell. Hi, Stephen.
Very good, thank you, Mark. In good form after what's been a busy week.
It has been
surprisingly
a busy
fresh.
Good. Right, seeing as we're talking about a busy week in the Cheltenham Festival.
And, oh, is that what we're talking about?
And seeing as you're wearing such a beautiful Gold Cup winner's tie.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Gold Cup then. And Lord Windermere, yet another RSA winner to go on and win the Gold Cup.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a trend in the last, 15 years. We've had, four now? With Lord Windermere. We also had Bobsworth, of course, before that. Denman did it. Looks like Trouble was another who did it, 99-2000 as well. And at Garrison Savannah in the early 90s. So there's a few of them that are popping up. So if you are going to buy into that theory, back O'Phelan's boy for next year's Gold Cup.
And a nice success for Jim Colotti. He becomes, the fifth trainer to have ridden the Gold Cup winner and trained the Gold Cup winner.
Yes, he has indeed. There's some great old names in there as well, the likes of Fred Winter and obviously John Joe's on the list as well, having rode two Gold Cup winners, and Pat Taff, who obviously sort of mirrors in a way the Jim Colotti story in the fact that he won three Gold Cups and then trained the Gold Cup winner as well. And I'm very pleased for him. It's a great story. To be fair, if any of the first three had won, it'd have been a good story. Lord Windermere, because he's trained by Jim Colotti. On his own, because Willie Mullins has now had four horses finish second in the Gold Cup, and it's a big Cheltenham race that he's not won. The biggest Cheltenham race, and he hasn't won it. And the Giant Bolster, trained by a small yard, comes to the Gold Cup every year, always, a sort of semi-outsider, but runs a cracking race.
He's getting closer, isn't he?
He is getting closer, bless him, yeah. So, any of the first three to one, it'd have been a good story. And Lord Windermere just held on. And I think probably the right decision in terms of the stewards' inquiry as well. I mean, it is hard, and it's not black and white. And obviously, as we know, the sort of process with stewards' inquiries in this country is if it's not a black and white decision, then you sort of benefit of the doubt goes to the horse past the post first. And that's probably about right, really. But I mean, David Casey, obviously on his own, what an up and down day he had. Picked up the spare rides from both Ruby Walsh and Paul Townend. Second on Arctic Fire in the county. Then he fell on Briar Hill, the hot favourite in the Albert Bartlett. Then he was beaten a short head in the Gold Cup after a steward's inquiry. And then his final race of the ride of the day, Passage Vendôme in the Grand Annual, fell at the first. So really,
mixed bag.
Very much a mixed bag for him. And to be fair, I'd say a mixed bag for Willie Mullins as well. He had, four winners in the end, but I think he had 6 seconds. And they would include the likes of Annie Power. Obviously, Hurricane Fly was turned over as well. So, I'm sure he'd be delighted with four winners, but a mixed bag for him. But I suppose he's got to be happy that he's not Daryl Jacob, Brian Cooper, Ruby Walsh, or any of the other boys who got injured.
Yeah,
as well. Josh Hamer as well, I think, was injured on Akdam earlier on in the week. So
yeah, it was carnage for the jockeys, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the falls were happening left, right and centre. So, but I mean, I know there were four equine deaths and very unfortunate ones as well, and obviously very sad, but over 450 runners across the 4 days. I think that's a fair testament to the fact that conditions were safe. I don't think it had anything to do with the ground at all, to be honest, because I think it would have been significantly higher if it had been very quick ground. But I think it was good, decent, safe jumping ground. They put a bit of water on, which a lot of people were critical of. But come the days, they just maintained conditions. They didn't worsen them at all. And I think all in all, an up and down festival. Every race that was billed as a two-horse race went to something else.
Yeah.
The Gold Cup, the World Hurdle. You know, and
never a two-horse race.
No, exactly. I mean, I suppose the champion hurdle was billed as a four-horse race. Yeah. And although the big four, well, no, it was a five-horse race, actually. And although four of them filled the first four places, it was the biggest prize one of all of them that actually won. So,
yeah.
And an eventful week, Mark.
It was. So what was the standout winner for you, or anything that you're particularly keen to follow seeing those performances?
Well, in terms of following, I think it's very obvious, obviously, but the new one, very unlucky in the champion hurdle. And I'm pretty sure he would have won the champion hurdle if he hadn't have had any interference in the race, because he flew home and made up a fair amount of ground just from the last hurdle, in fairness to him. One or two horses. I mean, Smad Place, he's finished placed at three festivals now, and he deserves a win. He's getting closer as well.
Yeah.
And same with Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah,
him as well.
Get Me Out of Here.
Four times he's finished second, and he's going to come back. He's going to be 11 next year. It's going to be a hard task, but it would be a great story if he finally did. It was hard not to be impressed with Votor. I know it was the first race of the week, but to sustain that gallop in such a quick time and still go clear at the line was...
And set a track record.
Yeah, was pretty amazing, to be honest. Yeah. So I think that was probably the highlight of the week, sort of visually.
He's my festival nap for next year.
Next, yeah. So the Arkle's got it all over, hasn't he? Got it sewn up.
Yeah.
A Champagne Fever, his jumping was a sight to behold. And the same with Next Sensation in the Grand Annual. Next Sensation, it was a sensational performance, although he got beat. To go off like that in a 2-mile handicap chase at the Cheltenham Festival and only be beaten, what, half a length, is pretty amazing. So, loads of great performances. I could sit here all day and give you hard luck stories and, you know, good performances for horses who were beat. One thing that did disappoint me slightly, one of my favourite horses at the moment in training is Many Clouds. And he ran a great race behind O'Phelan's boy in the Reynolds Town and probably should have won. He just got sort of caught in a duel in the final half mile. To see him get brought down and then O'Phelan's boy actually go and win is one of those what if moments.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what would have happened.
Yeah, exactly. But all in all, cracking week, I think. I know, obviously, as I say, give the exceptions with the jockeys' injuries, and obviously we wish them all the best, and obviously the equine fatalities, but for ups, downs, drama, didn't get any better really, did it?
Is that Gareth Topham line? Was that his commentary for the Gold Cup?
What did he say? It's been a dramatic week and it hasn't ended there.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And he was right, to be fair. Yeah. I mean, if you take a picture of the horses just after the last, there's six of them in a line coming up the hill, and you've got... And I mean, I know people are going to say, obviously, maybe it wasn't one of the best Gold Cups, but this is very much a Gold Cup of the old days. I'll say the old days, the few years ago, because... Before we had this era of great horses with Denman, Corto, Best Mate, generally it was not always the best horse that won the Gold Cup. It was horses who had good form, were high-class chasers, but were better stayers, you know. And I mean, Bobsworth in fifth place, there's still only one horse who's won two Gold Cups in a row since 1970.
Yeah.
1971. Which proves how hard it is. I mean, Best Man obviously won three. Corto won two, but even he couldn't win them back-to-back. And we know how good he was. Desert Orchid couldn't. Denman couldn't. And they are great steeplechasers. So that will probably put a seed of doubt in my mind about Lord Windermere for next year and whether he can do it again. But the point I'm making, I say, if you sort of paused it after they've landed at the last, you've got Sylvaniaco Conti, the King George winner, Bobsworth, last year's Gold Cup winner, Lyra Legends, last year's RSA runner-up, Lord Windermere, last year's RSA winner, on his own, a horse who's been twice sent off favourite for the Grand National and well-beaten, yet shown the best form of his life in the last 6 weeks. And then the Giant Bolster, who's made the frame in two previous Gold Cups and has got a very good record at Cheltenham. Six good horses.
Mm. So you're saying it's not a substandard Gold Cup?
I'm not saying it's... In the context of what we've had, I think we've been such... so used to such a high level and spoilt in recent years that, as I say, it's more a Gold Cup of old than actually a substandard to use, you know, because that sort of puts a negative spin on it, which, I don't want to do, to be honest.
OK. Fair enough. Well, that's the Cheltenham Festival all done and dusted for another year. same time next year.
Yeah. Don't forget, the Cheltenham have still got 3 days of racing before the end of the festival, end of the year. So, you know, we've got some good stuff to come there. And Aintree's only 3 weeks away now. So we're going to see, and Punchestown. So hopefully the majority of the winners at these big meets for Cheltenham, we're going to see again, at least at some point.
We should do. Good. Right, let's move on to Sunday, though, Stephen, because that's why we're here. And you picked out three races for Sunday. You've got one at Carlisle and a couple at Force Lass. So we'll start in chronological order in the 3:35 at Carlisle. And this is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3.25 miles. Mm. And it's no Gold Cup, Stephen, but Dutchek arrives here in pretty good form. Do you think he'll continue this afternoon?
He does. There could be six in a line at the last in this mark. Dutchek up a total of £33 for his four wins this season, three of which have been here at Carlisle. One was over course and distance, and then he won at Newcastle last time, and that was after a £9 rise. It's going to be hard for him, but he's still improving, and if he won, I wouldn't be surprised at all, to be honest, because he is really moving forward at a fair rate of knots. So he's very much the one for them to beat, I think. Number two, Count Guido Dero, was very much well beaten behind Midnight Prayer last time out at Warwick. Obviously, Midnight Prayer, though, given that form, a fair frank by winning the National Hunt Chase on Tuesday at the Cheltenham Festival. This horse, I think, maybe better judged on his previous run at Wincanton when he went over 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs. Got cheap pieces for the first time, still only 7, and I think still open to a bit more improvement as well. And then we go towards the bottom end for the others. The Friar, he's been running well in lesser races. He won at Ayr last time out. Seems to stay well for the Lucinda Russell Yard. Probably needs a bit more improvement, but if the top two, for having gone up in the weights, are going to struggle, he could be there to pick up the pieces with the bottom one, number 9, Nail 'Em, who's improved no end, really, on his last two starts, particularly when absolutely hacking up at Sedgefield last time in an easier race than this. But he did bolt up. And again, another one who's going very much the right way. It's a decent little race, to be honest. In terms of winning, I think Count Guido Dero is bringing some good form. He's still lightly raced over fences, cheek pieces for the first time. And I think there might be a bit more to eke out of him, where I think Tutchek could be vulnerable to reaching the ceiling of his improvement, basically, having gone up £33.
Okay, so Count Guido Dero in the 3:35 at Carlisle. Moving to Force Lass for the next one, and this one's at 3:50, and this is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. And Carlton Jack arrives here on a bit of a roll, Stephen. He's won his last two starts, last one at Sedgefield, before that at Uttoxeter, and had hit the frame on a couple of occasions before that, so he's getting better, he's improving.
He's always been a horse with plenty of ability. He won first time out in a bumper as well for John Joe. And I'm just, you know, there's obviously going to be two reasons why he's been off for 136 days. Either he's had a small little problem, or they've wanted to avoid the really bad ground in the winter. Obviously, the ground has dried up significantly in some places in the last couple of weeks, including Force Lass, where I think it's sort of good to soft now, which I think is probably the first time it's been like that in, well, since the summer at least of last year. I mean, I'd be tempted to say ever, because it always seems to be heavy.
I was going to say ever, but I thought that I'll leave it.
So still a 7-year-old, lightly raced, you say, won his last two. He's up £10 after that Uttoxeter Sedgefield double, but could well be open to more improvement. And I think he's open to more improvement than the number one, Big Casino, who's been placed off this mark the last twice. And I think he's the sort of leveller for the form, if you will, Big Casino. Lundy Sky, I like him for the similar reason that I like Carlton Jack, in that he hasn't been slogging it on heavy ground for the last 6 months. He's only had one run at Exeter 3 weeks ago, and he ran well there. He's been competitive off this mark in the past, and a repeat of that Exeter run, I think, would seem be involved. The Clock Leary, number 7, another improving horse, up £8 for a win at Catrick. Don't think it was a great race at Catrick, to be honest. So could probably need to improve more than £8, I think, to win. And then I'll mention number 11, Hold Court. Ran well in some very good races last year, off marks above 125, but he's been in poor form all season, slid down the weights as a result. I mean, he finished last three races in a row. 4th of 7 last time was marginally better. And Evan Williams does well at Force Lass. And now the ground's come good again. Maybe that could spring, you know, he's down in grade, down in the weights, back on better ground. And I think he might run a decent race, Hold Court. This is his last chance saloon, at least for me, anyway.
Yeah. Well, his best form is on better ground. So.
Yeah, it could be the day.
Yes. Okay. Is that the way you play it then? Do you go hold court in there?
Yeah, because the others, I mean, it's a very tricky little race. So I think it's one of those races where you can't have a sort of very strong view. And so best maybe to take a small chance on hold court coming back to his best.
Okay. On to the 425 next then. This is at Foslas. It's a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles and six of them in the lineup. Which ones are on the shortlist, Stephen?
Well, I mean, there's four of the six runners on the shortlist, actually, this race, Mark, which was won last year by Mountainous, who obviously, of course, won the Welsh National this year. And we've got a bit of national form in here as well, if you like. Number one, Boy From Nowhere, who won the Southern National on just his third start over fences at Fontwell in November. He was then put into the deep end, I think, at Warwick last time in the Classic Chase, which is always a brutal race, 3 mile 5 at Warwick. Good horses, and those five fences down the back, you know, come quick and fast. It was only his fourth run over fences that day, and he was pulled up. He was a difficult task for him, I think. But down in grade, marginally down in trip, at smaller field, will be a lot easier for him. Titchwood, second to Knock a Hand last time out at Leicester. Three decent runs over fences, but he was beaten fair and square by Knock a Hand. I don't think this race is easier. But again, he is open to more improvement. So whilst he's gone into a slightly harder race, if he can improve enough. Number three, Charingworth, formerly with Ferdy Murphy, has shown improved form since joining Kim Bailey. But he's 11, so he's not going to be improving at the same rate of knots as the others. If improving at all, maybe just sort of going back to form that we know he can show. And then obviously I think there's going to be a lot of people who latch onto Our Island. This is significantly easier than the races he's been running in of late. When you look through, I mean, he ran in the Ida last time out. He's running over 3.5 miles at Haydock, the Welsh National. Some really hard races. And again, similar to Boy From Nowhere, down in grade, down in trip, much, much easier. And must have a chance, but sort of last chance saloon as well. I know it's been difficult for him of late, but if you can't be competitive in this, then there's something seriously wrong. And although him and Boy From Nowhere have got a similar profile, where they differ is that Boy From Nowhere is much more lightly raced, much more younger, and, you know, he's open to more improvement, where we know, I think we know how good Our Island is, where I'm not sure we do with Boy From Nowhere, and I think this easier task might see him go in.
Okay, Boy From Nowhere then in the 425. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections then, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind.
Quick summary in the 335 at Carlisle, I'm going to go for Count Guido Dero. His form ties in well with a Cheltenham winner. 350 Foslas, it's going to be a bit of a chance on hold court back on better ground suiting him. And in Foslas, he's 425, Boy From Nowhere. He's got top weight to carry, but Rebecca Curtis is in good form. And this is only his fifth start over fences and much easier than his most recent run.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Mick Norton, James Millman and Mark Slater in the studio. Carlisle and Foslas domestically. There's also action over in Ireland from Limerick and Navan. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.